What is going on? Welcome back, everybody, to the Sports Headline Show. I am your host, Sean Davis, and we are here today. It's beginning our NBA 2024 draft coverage. We are reacting here to Sam Vecenie of The Athletic's most recent mock draft. I promise you guys we're going to have some fun content on the way, and we're starting with draft stuff. So we are going to react to this mock draft. I got a positional top 10 ranking coming next week. I'm going to take a look at this year's guard class. Super, super, super excited about that. Super happy that I'm diving into this class of players way earlier than I did last year. So by the time we really get to June, even late May, I have a way better understanding of these prospects than I did last season by starting a lot earlier. So let's see what Mr. Sam Vecenie's got cooking for us. One thing Sam does a good job of, like, you know, reminding us of here is that this mock draft is a what, not a what he would do, which are kind of more my style mock drafts where I'm going to do them. It's going to be more what I would do mocks. For Sam Vecenie here, this is more of a kind of just a pulse around the league and what he thinks might happen. So first overall here, the Portland Trail Blazers, he has them taking Zachary Risacher here from overseas, playing for the JL. Like, look, man, I think this year's draft, this is why this year's draft is so polarized, because I feel like there's around five or so players in this year's draft class that can all make an argument, depending on who you're talking to, for being a number one overall pick. I think, yeah, like Zachary here makes a good case. I think you look at guys like Alex Sarr, who's the guy that is still mocked. I think actually No Ceilings NBA still has him number one on their composite big board. You'll still find a rare, like a Ron Holland one. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, his mock draft, most recent one, had Reed Shepard going number one overall. So depending on who you talk to, I think it does matter, you know, who's number one overall. And that's why this draft, I think, is so fun. And I'm excited to see who I have number one on my board. And my first mock draft drops in about 2 weeks now, who I'll have number one then. But another reason why it's so polarized is because this year's draft class, more than ever, is so much more about fit. Like, you actually had to have a real plan. Not saying that NBA teams don't ever have a plan for a player, but more than ever, because to fully maximize the potential of one of these players, you really need to have a plan in place and understand that they have to fit your team. So depending on who gives the number one overall pick, maybe it isn't Alex Sarr that goes number one overall, compared to maybe it's still Ron Holland somehow that goes number one overall. So it really just depends on the team and the fit. But right here, I like this pick a lot for Portland. You've seen teams, and we've seen mock drafts, mock Portland guards, which doesn't make a ton of sense in my opinion. Like, they just drafted Scoot Henderson. They have Anthony Simons. They have Shane Sharp. Go get a wing that can play off the ball, that still has a bunch of upside. I like this pick a ton for Portland. And speaking of Alex Sarr, number two, the Washington Wizards take Alex Sarr. And this makes a ton of sense. And their defense is going to be so potentially scary, because you have Alex Sarr, who gets comped a lot to Jaren Jackson Jr., and Sam Vecenie does here. He actually also compares him to guys like Evan Mobley and Nick Claxton. But Alex Sarr, pairing him next to wings like Danny Avdija, assuming he returns to Washington next season, and Bilal Coulibaly, who they just drafted. Like, I love this fit so much for Washington, while also just being a dominant force. And I can't wait to potentially get to watch Alex Sarr in Summer League. And I'm a big fan of his game. He can also shoot the three as well, or he at least takes with confidence. Like his tape a lot. Alex Sarr is going to be a fun player as well. Number three, the Detroit Pistons. He has him taking Matis Buzelis out from the G League Ignite. And I think that fit-wise, I think you're really kind of bummed out that you weren't able to get a guy like a Zachary Risacher at three, because of how the lottery panned out in this mock draft. I think if I'm Detroit's number one, I think that's probably my pick there, because of the fit. I think it's a little bit more of a cleaner fit. I think just because of how much of a better shooter he is, I think that definitely pans out. But I mean, just think about the defensive capability, man. Like, his ability, he averages 2.5 blocks a game, and you throw in the steal with that as well. I think pairing him next to a guy like Kassar Thompson, he has some off-ball capabilities as well. He could potentially go up probably as high as two. Sam Vecenie here says starts as high as one if he has a big-time draft pre-draft process, which I think is a valid statement there. The Memphis Grizzlies take Reed Shepard here. And I think there's an interesting debate about, you know, like Reed Sheppard versus Rob Dillingham, the battle of the two Kentucky guards, if you will. And I think the reason why Reed Sheppard might get picked a little bit earlier than a guy like a Rob Dillingham is because I just think that Reed Sheppard fits a lot more in a lot of different places than a guy like a Rob Dillingham does, right? I think Rob Dillingham is an elite shooter, one of the best, if not the best shooter in this draft class. His hands defensively, while on ball, I think he kind of lacks some of the size and the athleticism and the quick foot speed to, you know, be able to guard at a high level on the ball. But defensively, man, just his hands and his basketball IQ, especially defensively, is super, super elite. He's just insanely efficient. He's shooting 50, 50, 86 from the line this season. Like, that is ridiculous, ridiculous numbers from Reed Sheppard. And I think that you add in how freaking good of a playmaker he is, too. He is a guy that's going to be able to plug and play anywhere he goes. I don't know if I would have him as a number one overall pick. But, I mean, again, it really just takes one team. And his fit is so daggone great for a lot of places. Let's see who he has him come to. Jalen Brunson. Yeah, okay. So, like, he's mentioned Brandon Pajemski, Dennis Bain, Jalen Brunson. It's kind of a wide net there. So San Antonio at five, he has him taking Nikola Topic or Topic. I'm going to figure that one out as well. He is hurt right now, which kind of sucks. It doesn't kind of suck. It does suck a lot. I think if he was able to continue playing and continue to play at a high level, he could be a guy that could be rising and be in the conversation of going number one overall. But I think for San Antonio, this is absolutely massive for them, man. You pairing him, a real, like, a legitimate facilitator that's also super, super efficient at getting to the rim, has good finishes, finishing ability, but that can really, really find Victor Wembanyama. Like, imagine Nikola Topic, who has good size at 6'6", going into a ball screen with Victor Wembanyama. That's going to be elite. I'm super, super excited about him. And I haven't gotten around to his tape yet, but trust and believe me, man. Like, just seeing some of the highlights, seeing some of the best draft analysts and a lot of people I respect their opinions on them. I'm super, super excited to take a look at Nikola Topic's film. Charlotte, he has him taking Stephen Castle. And again, going back to my fit point, I have graded Stephen Castle. If you are going to grade Stephen Castle and view Stephen Castle as a guard, then I would as a lead guard, I would have a little bit more reserved. Like, I'd be a little bit more critical of this pick. But in this role for Charlotte, where if he were to go to Charlotte and be like their two, be an off-ball slasher and great point of attack defender, then this is a home run pick. And depending on the team, this makes a ton of sense. And again, I don't want to keep like beating a dead horse here. But again, like it really, really, really just comes down to the fit. And Stephen Castle here, depending on the team, could go as high as top three. If the board just... you know, doesn't go the way it needs to go, I think he could slide as far as maybe even like 8 or 9. But this seems right. You're pairing him up next to LaMelo Ball, where again, he gets to be this off-ball dude. But that's the thing. I think he has still legitimate shot-making ability that you haven't seen a ton at UConn this season. But the three-point game is definitely coming around. He mentions it here, shooting 38% rounding up since January 8th. He has, you know, just incredible, like, secondary playmaking and just, like, being a connector to that UConn offense, one of the best offense and the most intricate offenses in the country, quite frankly. So this is a really good pickup. I like this a lot if they're using him in this role. San Antonio, oh, my gosh, man. Cody Williams is a name that I didn't mention for some reason when talking about guys that could go number one. But depending on who you talk to, Cody Williams is also a guy that goes number one. And good grief, man, like Cody Williams and Nikola Topic, the San Antonio Spurs got just two phenomenal players. And this just makes so much sense. And it's kind of hard not to compare him a little bit to his brother, Jalen Williams from the Oklahoma City Thunder, who I think right now Cody Williams is a little bit more raw, but San Antonio, I think, could have a little bit more patience. Or if he went to a place like Utah, it would make a ton of sense. So Utah right now kind of, you know, punching walls right now that they weren't able to land Cody Williams, and the Spurs getting a little fortunate that Cody Williams, the Raptors fell to seventh here in the mock because the protection on that Raptors pick is top six. But Nikola Topic and Cody Williams here is a home run deal. He's a little bit raw, but he is so freaking good at being able to pressure the rim, playmake, and at like the worst, he's going to be a high level defender at the next level. And I'm super, super excited about that for Cody Williams. Now, the three-point shooting is a little bit of a question mark and like some of the self-creation stuff, but I'm a big fan of Cody Williams. I think this is a great pickup for the Charlotte Hornets. The Houston Rockets get Ron Holland. The Rockets are potentially a trade-down spot here. The reason why I say that is because it's not necessarily because of Ron Holland necessarily. It's really just more or less because of the Rockets. You look at their team, if Ron Holland's the pick, I get it. But their wings are, I'm really, really a big fan of. Like, you got Tari Eason, you got Jabari Smith Jr., who I think he's already a good player. Cam Whitmore is a stud, who I had fifth on my board last season, and they somehow freaking get him at 20. So if the idea here is to round out your wing group here, I guess I suppose that. But I don't know, man. I would have went maybe trade down a couple spots, and maybe you'll get a backup big, maybe you just select a guy like a Dominic Klingon right here. You get a Kyle Filipowski, again, maybe trading back. But Ron Holland, upside ploy here, really inefficient right now in the half court in the G League Ignite, which is, I think, kind of a trend. But I still believe in him. He is insanely athletic, really, really athletic player. And I think a guy that is continuing to improve. And I'm a fan. Utah takes Rob Dillingham. So, Utah's the team that I think would be a good spot for a guy like Ron Holland. So, maybe even if you just traded back a pick and, you do something like Dallas and OKC did last year, that's something I would consider. Anyway, Rob Dillingham to the Utah Jazz. And I just can't help but think, there's some skill set duplication there between Rob and with Keontae George, who I do really like a ton. They have Jordan Clarkson. I would imagine they're just going to let go in this scenario. They have Colin Sexton. So, I don't know. I might just look at another wing. I think Lauri Markkanen needs to probably be gone after this season, whether it's via trade, just recruit some more assets, and fully buy into just being bad, not being bad, but rebuilding and retooling this roster. I think that best case scenario, though, with Rob Dillingham, I think he really does have, lead guard upside. And off, it's kind of like in a Tyrese Maxey type of role, in my opinion. The Atlanta Hawks, he has them taking Tadon Salloon. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. 6'9 wing from Chalet. I think he's a guy that, right now he's shooting 35% from three. His range shouldn't be a problem once he gets to the NBA. I'm a fan. I like him. I think this fit does make a ton of sense. The Houston Rockets, Donovan Klingon at 11. I'm sorry, the Oklahoma City Thunder, Donovan Klingon here. This makes a ton of sense, man. I think I can also see a world where you put him next to Chet Holmgren in offense, really on both ends of the floor. I don't think that there's going to have any problems either. I think he is a really, really good rim protector. It allows Chet to kind of guard a little bit more as well. And offensively, he can shoot the three ball. He can play in the five-out kind of offense. I mean, like I said, UConn once one of the more complicated offenses in the country, and he's going to come in here, use that knowledge, his basketball IQ, and be a great plug-and-play fit here for Oklahoma City, and at worst be Chet Holmgren's backup and relieve him and be a nice backup big for him in the future, which is definitely a spot of need there. Chicago Bulls, Dawn Connect here. I like this pick a lot. I think I've seen a lot of mock drafts where they have them taking the Bulls taking a guard, which does really make a lot of sense. That guard room is really, really crowded where they already have Iwadosumu, Kobe White, Alex Caruso, Javon Carter, Zach LaVine, potentially if they want to bring him back next year and not consider trading him. So going guard doesn't make a ton of sense for me for the Bulls, but taking Dawn Connect here at 12, a guy that can play on and off ball. He's an insane scorer. He went nuts in the SEC. Where he shot 25, he averaged 25 points per game on great shooting. That's a guy that I think, is going to be really, really fun to watch in the tournament. And he really makes that offense go. Not a great defender, but I love that bit a lot. And Isaiah Collier going to New Orleans Pelicans here at 13. he really, really struggled earlier in the year. And one of the things that you love to see in a young player is their ability to figure things out kind of on the fly mid-season and come back and really have those things addressed and fixed. His decision making, his just how he was reading and processing the game earlier in the season just wasn't really there. And he comes back, he gets injured, unfortunately. I believe it was his wrist, and comes back. I think he didn't come back till mid-January, maybe the late January, if I recall correctly. We'll definitely fact check that one. But he comes back in his processing and his decision making, which is so much more fluid and felt more natural, while also being a really athletic finisher at the rim and having the ability to shoot the three ball as well. I'm a fan of him. He also is a foul merchant in a good way. Like, he really does a great job of being able to get to the line. A great paint touch player. I love that fit as well. Next to Zion and Brandon Ingram and all that stuff. That would have been really, really fun. I could see the Pelicans, and maybe we'll see what they do. I want to say at 22. I could have seen them if he was still on the board, maybe take a Donovan Klingon, but he's off the board. I do prefer him personally a little bit more of a Kyle Filipowski. The Portland Trailblazers take Jacoby Walter at 14. I think I'm a little bit lower on Jacoby Walter. I think that although the shooting wasn't there, I'm a believer in the shooter, actually, personally. Sam Vecenie brings up how he's shooting 29% in Big 12 play. Look, I'm a believer in the shot, personally. He takes a lot of tough shots at Baylor, but you translate that to the NBA game where he's going to come in, be not the first guy on the scouting report, and be a guy that can play off of Scoot, play off of Simons, play off of these other guys, play off of Zachary Richichet, and that's it, Richichet, sorry, and be a guy that can play off screens, be a spot knock down, catch and shoot guy. Really, really smart player. I think he's a better defender than he gets credit for. I view him more in the KCP type of mold right now, personally. It's a high comp, probably. I think Jacoby Walter, he's a guy that is going to have a lot of eyes on him in this NCAA tournament run and really probably needs a really good pre-draft cycle as well. The Miami Heat take Kyle Filipowski, trying to really lock down that backup big spot for them. He's a better defender than he probably gets credit for. He's a guy that can go score the ball as well naturally. I think that this is a nice fit for Miami. Although we are personally in the range for a guy like a Jared McCain here for Miami, probably as a long-term point guard potentially. But they take Kyle Filipowski right there. The 76ers, he has them taking Yves Missi, the big out of Baylor. This makes a ton of sense. I'm all for it. A backup big that is a really, really, really good shot blocker and defender in the Big 12. He made the Big 12 all defense team. And I think I don't know if he's going to profile as a future starter. Maybe he does if he gets traded down the line. But for the future, for the time being, for Embiid and this Sixers team, they need to stop cycling through retread bigs or guys that should either A, shouldn't be in the league, B, are undersized, or C, are journeyman. So getting him a real backup big that you can kind of have as a staple of the roster, I think is important. And Yves Missi makes a ton of sense. Toronto, Bobby Clemon, a guy that I liked last year, actually, and I had a fringe first-round grade on him, if not a very late first-round grade on Bobby Clemon last season. He's a 6'9 wing, like a defend, like a shoot the three. I do think this is a little rich for my taking, for my liking here. I would have went Jared McCain here. Again, honestly, another spot where I would have liked to see Jared McCain go, but he's a really nice player, and if this is really where his range is, right in the top 20 range or whatever, then he definitely made the right decision of leaving Wake Forest. I believe he said Wake Forest last year, leaving, not declaring in the draft, and then kind of testing the waters, not declaring ultimately, and then going over to the NBL and playing there. So I think that is a nice spot for Bobby Clemon. All right, 18, my guy, Jared McCain, he goes to the Duke Blue Devils. I mean, he's from the Duke Blue Devils. Goes to the Orlando Magic, the other blue team, and he gets to partner up with fellow Duke Blue Devil in Paolo Banchero. I think Jared McCain has a little bit more upside than he probably gets credit for, and it's really only because if you look back at his old tape, like his high school tape and stuff like that, he is a way better passer than I think he gets credit for. I think he gets to show off at Duke because they have Tyrese Proctor. They have Jeremy Roach. They have other ball handlers. And since he is such a knockdown shooter and honestly one of the best shooters in this draft class, I don't think he gets to show off the playmaking ability, but he's also a really, really good finisher. I love Jared McCain. He didn't start off well, but some injuries to some of the other guards let him kind of come into his own nicely. And another guy, again, if he has a really nice tournament run, I think he could really benefit. Number 19 here, the New York Knicks. They're going to take Johnny Furphy, a guy that has started to get some buzz, but there's also some conversation that he might return back to Kansas. He's, again, another guy probably that needs to have a dominant tournament run. Look, he had a really dominant, you know, Big 12 run before they really started getting injured. I don't know. I think he'll probably return back to Kansas for one more year, and I think he'd really, really benefit from that. All right, the Atlanta Hawks, Tyler Smith. They're going to get a 6'11", stretch 5, maybe like if you had two bigs together, a 4, but 6'11", really nice athlete that can shoot the 3 ball. I'm a really, really big fan of Tyler Smith out of the G League, and this does make a ton of sense. This makes sense for the Atlanta Hawks as well, kind of with the modern NBA. Number 21, the New York Knicks. They're going to take Zach Edey, big-time player, literally from Purdue, 7'4". He made the right decision going back to Purdue. I think he really tightened up and became a much better defender over the past couple of years. He's a really, really good drop coverage big. And I think with the status of Mitchell Robinson, you have Isaiah Hartenstein, Zach Edey as a long-term fit here in New York makes a ton of sense. Good post player, obviously, but he's really, really improved as a passer. And I think that's also really, really important for the modern big. Phoenix, right here. Phoenix is going to take Devin Carter out of Providence. This is this year Brandon Pajemski, quite frankly. This is this year's Brandon Pajemski. He's going to come in. Phoenix needs playable guards and playable, well, just guys that can play in general. And I think Zach Edey going off the board kind of sucks for them, but you get Devin Carter here, and I think he's a instant day one rotation player, kind of like kind of like Brandon Pajemski was for Golden State. Pelicans, they're going to take Keyshawn George out of Miami. That's a home run, another home run draft so far here for the Pelicans, taking George and taking Isaiah Collier. This is a guy that can knock down the 3 ball and a nice clip, has a nice shot, a nice looking jumper, can attack off of closeouts, wild closeouts as well. Not an insane athlete for his size, but a guy that 6'8 wing, I think you take a gamble on, and with this jump shooting ability and the ability to attack some closeouts is big. So you have Bub Carrington here for the Cavs here at 24. This is the earliest I've seen him go so far, but he is a very raw prospect, and I honestly think he probably should just stay at Pittsburgh for one more year. But he's a guy that can play off of ball screens, really, really can create at a high level, has really nice vision as a playmaker. I'm excited about him, and I'm excited about him, especially if he were to go back to Pittsburgh. I think you're talking about a fringe lottery guy next season. The Milwaukee Bucks, this is one of my favorite picks of the draft so far. They take Ryan Dunn. The Bucks' point of attack defense is horrendous this season. Ryan Dunn, he comes in here to Milwaukee, and at worst, he is a Matisse Thybulle. At best, he is a Herb Jones. The jumper is just too inconsistent, but he is the best defender in this draft, especially on-ball defender in this draft, bar none. Like, the fact that he wasn't a semifinalist for the National Defensive Player of the Year is ridiculous, because he truthfully is the best defender in this draft. He just has to get the offensive game together. If he was a better offensive player, he's a lottery pick. He's a lottery pick if he was a more polished offensive player. Even if the jumper was more consistent, he'd be a for sure a lottery pick. Next up, we have Jalen Tyson here going to the Washington Wizards at 26 via the Clippers. I like this fit a lot. I think that scouts are a little bit, you know, iffy on him, right? But he's a high volume scorer. He was Cal's best player this season, rounding up 20 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 47% from the field, 35%, 36% from 3. Did take a bunch of threes, right? And his decision making is a little bit frustrating at times. So that's a little bit interesting there. 27, Minnesota, Hunter Salas. This is a nice long-term replacement from a guy like a Mike Conley, who you do re-sign, but I think Hunter Salas can sit and play behind Mike Conley in the long term. Look, man, he's a guy that can really, really shoot the 3 ball. After really struggling at Gonzaga with it, he comes into Wake Forest, really, really shooting the heck out of the three ball. Really good athlete, shifty player. And they play Appalachian State at the time of recording this tomorrow. Definitely going to be tuning into that game as well. And I think he's a guy that could come in off the bench and add a nice scoring punch for them. All right, Utah taking Cam Christie. This is the earliest I've seen him taking, him being taken in any mock draft, if at all. But no, he's been taken. But I just think the general consensus is that he's going to go back next year. I don't know. I think if he were to go back next year, I think he could be in this range again. But I mean, a good point here by Sam Bassini that, look, hey, man, if he stays, you know, get him a year in the G League, get his body up to speed. And, you know, he has some nice traits. I love Max Christie coming out. And I can confirm from like some of the sources I know that if he had stayed, he would have been a fringe lottery pick if he played well last season at Michigan State, going back to Michigan State. So I love Max Christie. So essentially Max Christie, but a little bit more on-ball capability. So I don't know. I am intrigued by the prospect of Cam Christie. Tyler Collette goes to the Denver Nuggets. I mean, because why not? A guard from Marquette that is a big part of that Marquette offense that can score the ball at a high level, that can, and efficiently rather, mind you, and play make his ass off. Like, this is a great pick. He compares him to TJ McConnell, and I kind of like that pick. So that is a nice pickup for the Denver Nuggets. And then the Boston Celtics, he has him taking Justin Edwards. Why not take a flash in the pan? Is that the quote there? Let me know in the comments down below. Justin Edwards was supposed to be a top five pick, top 10 pick. Really, really was able to get it around early. And he has some struggles, but defensively he was definitely a mess. And I think he definitely needs to fix that a little bit more defensively. I need to get more to his tape and figure it out. But yeah, this might be a little bit early for what I've seen on Justin Edwards. So some bigger names here in the second round. Deron Holmes goes to the Jazz. I like that fit. Trey Alexander to the Raptors is an interesting pickup. Khalil Ware to the Spurs. I mean, just why not? Kevin McCullough to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Yes, love that a ton. AJ Mitchell to the Celtics. So from Santa Barbara, that's a nice pickup. Antonio Reeves, a potential late round sleeper. Yeah. Let's see here. Jamal Shedd to the Nuggets. So this was a ton of fun, guys. So guys, let me know in the comment section down below what draft content you want to see. I have a bunch of great stuff planned. Like I said, I'm going to have my first positional ranking video next week, breaking down the top 10 guards in this draft class. So make sure you guys do stick around, hit that like button so you don't miss it. I'm going to be doing my first mock draft in 2 weeks. Going to be doing some film breakdowns. Going to have a bunch of great content creators and draft analysts on this channel as well. And hopefully be able to get some player interviews on the channel as well. Got a bunch of great stuff on the way. So make sure you guys do subscribe. Until next time, everybody. See ya and peace out.